And let us turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 27 as we consider our Savior rising from the grave. We will read 27 verse 62 through 28 verse 15 as we consider the events that surround the resurrection of our Savior and His time in the grave as well. So let us read together the word of Almighty God. On the next day, which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, "Sir, we remember, while he was still alive, how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away, and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' So the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go your way, make it as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. But the angel answered and said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So they went and out quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." So they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." Now while they were going, behold, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests the things that had happened. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews to this day. Thus far, the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to our consideration of it. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we consider the resurrection of our Savior, we consider also the context of what's going on there. And what I find interesting, as we read it this morning, the Jews remembered what Jesus said, don't they? They say, "Sir, we remember," verse 63, "while he was still alive, how this deceiver said that after 3 days I will rise." Those who had heard Jesus, even if in fighting against him, realized what Jesus was saying. I find it interesting, how did the disciples react? The disciples reacted as though they had no hope, right? They didn't remember. And how easy it is for us as Christians to not remember the truths and the wonders of what we are as those saved by the power of God, by Jesus' resurrection. And so as we look at this passage, we see that Jesus' resurrection was just as he had promised, even if his disciples didn't realize that. And that it was witnessed as much by Jesus' enemies to us today as it was by his disciples. And so as we look at this passage in verses 62 through 66, we see that Jesus was secured in the tomb, as though they could do that. In verses 1 through 10, we see that the mourning of the disciples and of the women who were with the disciples was turned to joy. And then in verses 11 through 15, we see again the witness of Jesus' enemies was to the fact that Jesus is risen. The Savior has risen from the dead. So first of all, we see that the tomb was secured. The Pharisees, as we said, remembered Jesus' prophecy. On the next day, the day which follows the day of preparation, what's that? The actual day, the Sabbath. They were breaking the Sabbath to do this business. We've got to keep this guy down. He might teach the truth. And this is what they had accused Jesus of doing in healing. Yet they were doing it to kill and destroy. What a contrast. And so the Pharisees and the priests gathered to Pilate. Hatred makes strange bedfellows. As they cried at Jesus' trial, what did they say? We have no king but Jesus, but Caesar, I'm sorry, John 19:15. Jesus' enemies witness to the promise of his resurrection. The disciples had certainly not caught it on the way past, but the Pharisees and the priests understood what Jesus was claiming. We have to realize that. They were not ignorant. This was not hidden. There are those who say, well, Jesus didn't say he was the Savior, he was the Messiah. You know, Jesus very clearly said that. So clearly so that even those who were his enemies understood. And so they said, we're going to prevent deception. And they come to Pilate and they ask for a way to secure the tomb. And notice through the third day, verse 64, so that the disciples of Jesus could not steal him away. Now, what were the disciples doing? Were they getting ready plans to steal Jesus' body away? They were walking away dejected, weren't they? Think of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Mary Magdalene and Mary go to the tomb. What were they doing? They were there to embalm Jesus, essentially, to put spices on him. They say, well, this is, the Pharisees and the priests say, this is to prevent a worse deception than the first. The deception of Jesus at the first was he's the Christ, because he was. And the deception here would be continued, that he is the Christ. Well, he is, so he does rise. But this ensures to us that Jesus' resurrection is not a fake. We have all the evidence. Not only do we have the written truth of the Bible, we have the witness of the defense, if you will. The witness of those who are fighting against that fact. Jesus' grave was watched so that we know that the grave was empty. We have the witness of the authorities to Christ's resurrection, not just of the people who wrote the Bible, who were, for the most part, average people. And so they were trying to prevent the resurrection. The enemies are given free rein to secure Jesus' tomb. Pilate says, you have a guard. Pilate is giving them authority to use his own soldiers as the guard. Notice later that it is the soldiers who fear that this is going to come to Pilate's ears. And Pilate says to them what? Go your way, make it secure as you know how. Again, they're given free rein to do what they believe is necessary to defend against trickery. And they do their best to seal Jesus in. We're told they made the tomb secure, sealing the stone and setting the guard. But as we sang, in vain they watch, in vain they seal. No matter what man was trying to do, no matter even what the devil was trying to do, and he certainly was involved in all of this, trying to conquer God, there was no way for them to conquer. And so we look in verses 1 through 10 that the mourning of the disciples and of the Marys was turned to joy. They returned to do the preparation for burial that could not be done because of the lateness of Jesus' death on Friday. Jesus' disciples, notice, keep the Sabbath, while his enemies, the Pharisees, had broken it out of malice. Mark 16, 1 and 2, "Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices that they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen." We're told even at other places that it was not yet to the point that you could tell who the person was. And so the angel brings the resurrection news. When they arrived, the stone had been rolled away. As they are on the way to the tomb, the women were wondering, how can we get that stone off of the front of the tomb? And yet when they got there, it was rolled away. And the angel of the Lord descended and rolled the stone back from the door, we're told. His face, his countenance was like lightning. His clothing is white as snow. God's angels celebrated at Jesus' birth, and they celebrate now at his resurrection as well. There are those who tell us that every Lord's Day is the same. I'm sorry, I disagree with that. God celebrated, therefore we should rightly celebrate the resurrection of our Savior. We should celebrate as well the other days that God celebrates, at least. And we're told about the guards as well. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid." Notice you have the contrast. The guards who were fighting against the resurrection of the Savior fainted in fear. And perhaps that would have been the response of the women as well. But the angel says, "Do not fear. Do not be afraid. I know that you seek Jesus." The angels know their thoughts, know their desires, without even asking. And what is their response? "He is not here. He is risen." Jesus is risen bodily from the grave. His body is not here. "Come see the place where the Lord lay." He was here. He lay here. But he was not corrupted, as the prophecy goes. His flesh did not see corruption. He has risen. So what do the women do? They return. Go quickly. That's the call of the angel to the women. "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And indeed he is going before you into Galilee." The women are sent with a message. The message of Christ's resurrection. He is going before you even into Galilee. Jesus is already ahead of you on the way. Jesus had promised that. Matthew 26, 32. Just a chapter previously. "But after I will have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." And they're told, there you will see him. Jesus, after his resurrection, would show himself to many, many people. Over 500 at one time. Again, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is demonstrated to us so that we do not need to question, to have wonders about that fact. And we have it established from so many directions because God knows that we need to have those sorts of proofs. God makes it clear so that we do not need to have questions. And the angel concludes with, "Behold, I have told you, I have fulfilled my mission." This angel is a messenger with a message. And brothers and sisters, how can we not then go and tell others? And that's, by the way, the conclusion of the Gospel of Matthew. As you go into the world, preach the gospel, teach. And so the women went quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. Now, people don't rise from the dead. It doesn't happen, but Jesus rose. And they ran to bring the disciples word. They realized by the vision of angel that this was true. They went to bring the truth, the good news to the disciples. And they meet Jesus on the way. And Jesus meets them with the message, rejoice. And they come to Jesus and they hold him by the feet and they worship him. And again, Jesus sends them on their mission. Don't be afraid. Don't fear. There's so much more in that than we just think about the situation involved. But brothers and sisters, we do not need to fear. We spend our time so much in fear in this world. We need to be confident in the Savior who has saved sinners, who has risen from the dead. We do not need to fear. Go and tell my brethren in Galilee, and there they will see me. To go to Galilee, I'm sorry. And again, we have further witnesses of Jesus' resurrection. His enemies. And the soldiers witness. They come back to the chief priest to report on the fact that they had lost the dead body. And the chief priests and the elders consult, don't they? What do we do? It's interesting that the disciples did this, or that the soldiers did this so easily and readily. Other places we're told that when perhaps you think about the guards that guarded the disciples later on, I can't think of the name, where was that? The jailer that was ready to kill himself because he had lost the prisoners. Well, these guys go directly to the chief priests and reported to them all the things that had happened. I think there's an opportunity again, and God is so gracious with these opportunities for the chief priests to change their tune. But of course they won't. This is the witness of God using these soldiers to them, and it's the witness of God using the soldiers to us. That all of the things that had happened. And when they had assembled the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers. They bribed them to lie. His disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. What a blank lie. Were soldiers allowed to sleep while they were keeping guard? And have you ever been in a situation where you need to keep guard as a soldier? You don't sleep, do you? You do, you get in trouble. And so the chief priests give them such a clear lie. And they say, if this comes to the governor's ears, again, interesting, isn't it? They had asked Pilate for the guard. The guards had, if you will, lost their charge. They said, we will make you secure. But we have to see how awesome it is that God has given us this witness of the truth of Jesus' resurrection from every different perspective so that we can know that Jesus has risen. And yet, of course, as we said, the lie continues to be repeated. And I know people who believe this lie, sadly. The disciples stole him away. Jesus didn't rise. Jesus rose. They took the money, we're told, and they did as they were instructed. The sad thing is, what people will do for money, won't they? And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. And they had every opportunity to see the truth. They even understood Jesus from the word go concerning who he was and what he was going to do. And they would not believe. And you will run into people like that, don't get me wrong. But brothers and sisters, there are also people whose hearts will change when we bring the good news to them, because the power of the Holy Spirit works in them, and God can change the hardest of those who hate the gospel. And so, brothers and sisters, as we celebrate Easter, we have the witness of angels. We have the witness of Jesus. We have the witness of the disciples. We have the witness of the women, of the hundreds that saw Jesus after the resurrection. And if we're looking for beyond a reasonable doubt, we have the witnesses. Our Savior is risen. And we rejoice in the fact that our Savior's having risen, as we looked at in the Catechism this morning, that He ascended on high, that He is seated at the right hand of God, that He there reigns for us as His church, and that He will come again in judgment. So, brothers and sisters, we rejoice in a Savior who has accomplished what He promised, even as we talk about His death and resurrection, that He has done what He promised in that past tense. And brothers and sisters, we rejoice in a Savior who continues to do everything that He has promised. And we rejoice in a Savior who will come again to judge the living and the dead. And we rejoice in the promise that though we are sinners, we have the promise and the certainty of eternal life because Jesus paid our debt in full. His resurrection is to us a guarantee of our blessed resurrection. It is the certainty of the fact that our debt is paid in full and has been accepted by God. And brothers and sisters, we rejoice on this Easter Sunday in the risen Savior. Amen. Let us bow our heads, our hearts before God's throne of grace and prayer. And we'll close this prayer together with the Lord's Prayer. Shall we pray? Almighty, most gracious Heavenly Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank You that You took our debt in full, that our sins were written to Your account, and that You paid the penalty of hell in our place. We thank You, Lord Jesus, as well for Your resurrection, that You have risen the victor over death. It was not possible that death could hold You. And we rejoice in the promise which that contains for us of our own blessed resurrection to eternal life in glorified bodies. And yet, Lord, even as we are sinners, we consider our unworthiness. And we so often struggle with the fact that we continue in sin, that we are not worthy again and again and again, more and more. Yet, Lord, we rejoice that You have paid not only for all of our past sins, but all of our present and future. And we thank You, Lord Jesus, for the message which You give. Do not be afraid. We do not need to fear the judgment. We rejoice in the Savior who is risen. And we rejoice in the new life which He works in us by your Holy Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name, even as Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.